Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. This is the text. Last Sunday, during our Bible class, someone said they had a quick question before we began our regularly scheduled discussion. That was at 9:15. At about 10:05, I had to cut short our quick discussion because it was almost time for church and I barely got dressed by the time the bell was going to ring at 10:15. Or I guess we didn't have a bell last week, did we? The question had to do with the events involving the prayer service in Newtown, Connecticut. In my newsletter article, which you should be receiving tomorrow in the mail, I address this at length. You can read it online right now if you want. But gave kind of a brief overview and my humble opinion on what maybe should have been done or could have been done better in regard to this very difficult and painful time. And you may have seen certain things in the news or newspapers. I know in St. Louis it was in the newspaper quite a bit. And I encourage you to read my article, and there's also internet links to the letters that were exchanged between President Harrison and the pastor in Connecticut. Well, the question that arose on Sunday was concerning unionism and syncretism in general. And I know those are big, scary words, but basically, they are remaining silent and allowing false teaching to occur. And the most common example of unionism is pastors participating together in joint worship events with Christians from other church bodies where those church bodies deny basic truths of Scripture, or pastors and laity participating at the Lord's table where the church bodies of those the other church bodies deny basic truths of Scripture, and that is especially the presence of Christ in, with, and under the form of bread and wine. Syncretism is similar participation with the people who are not Christian. And on February 15th, Jonathan Fisk gave a brilliant, excellent explanation of this on his worldvieweverlasting.com. I encourage you to go and look at it. He can explain it far better than I have. The question that arose last Sunday had to do with these other times that we gather together with Christians of other church denominations. Can we pray with them? Can we attend a national memorial service at Arlington Cemetery or here in Quincy? The answer is emphatically yes. You praying with your Roman Catholic or Baptist friends or neighbors is not a problem. Even me attending one of these services is not a problem. We do not deny that our fellow Christians who worship God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and recognize Christ as their Savior, we certainly see them as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we all call upon the same God. However, if I were to lead one of these services along with the clergy from the other churches, then there would be a problem because my presence there would be stating that we have a oneness of faith and teaching. And I would be giving my benediction, my blessing to their doctrine, to their teaching. And since I cannot hold two teachings to be the truth when they oppose one another, if I give my blessing to their teaching, that denies a truth of Scripture, then I have denied a truth of Scripture. And this was the problem at the worship-ish event that took place in Newtown following that horrific shooting at the school. And at this event, there were Muslim and Baha'i clergy, among others, offering their words without hope in Christ. And then the LCMS pastor speaking his benediction at the end. And this is a very difficult and painful topic within our church, because there is nothing that we desire more than true unity and oneness with all of God's children. That everyone would come to believe the fullness of the Word of God and receive the joy of the gospel and the hope of the resurrection. Because anything else leaves you lost and without hope. It seems when this question of unionism and syncretism arises, the media and the greater culture always want to blame the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for being the problem. Yet, if you look at the history of it, we have offered full fellowship to every church body that adheres to five basic teachings of Scripture. And I know we go over this in confirmation, and it's important to understand the bar that we set for fellowship is not insurmountable. It's very inviting. You know, the first point is that we believe that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Scripture says. And we can't forget in this equation that the Son of God is both true God and true man. The second point is that the Bible is divinely inspired and contains no errors. It is truly God's Word. It is the source and norm of truth, and truth is absolute. God is not a postmodernist. If His Word is true for you, then it's true for me also, and I don't get to pick and choose which parts I want to believe and which parts I want to set aside. The third point is that baptism cleanses us from both our original sin and our sins of thought, word, and deed. The Word of God is joined with that water, and our old Adam drowns and dies in the water and the Word. And we are raised to a new life in Christ, as Paul says. And baptism, it's necessary for our salvation. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." With the understanding that it is the despisal of, not the lack of baptism, that condemns you. As he continues on and says, "He who does not believe shall be condemned," Mark 16:16. On baptism, the Bible's fairly clear. It's extremely clear. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. Acts 2, the promise is for you and your children, and for those who are far off. It would be sinful for us to say this teaching doesn't matter, because baptism saves you. The fourth point, the body and blood of Christ are present in, with, and under the form of bread and wine through a miraculous sacramental union. When Jesus says, "This is my body," we believe it. Just like the early Christians held this belief, died for this belief. The churches planted by Paul and the other apostles all taught that Christ is really present in the flesh and blood. I can't explain it. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. But to deny this and say that all the apostles taught all of the churches that they planted in the first century, they taught them, all of them, incorrectly, and God allowed his church to wallow in ignorance until the 16th century, when finally the reformed enthusiasts like Calvin and Zwingli and Arminius finally discovered the truth that Jesus is only symbolically present and it's just bread and wine. We hold to Jesus' words, "This is my body," and we cannot remain silent while others deny this. As St. Paul says, if we do not recognize the body of the Lord, we eat and drink judgment on ourselves. That was the warning he gave to the church in Corinth. When we remain silent, that is a very unloving thing to do, and therefore allowing people to eat and drink judgment on themselves. The watchman is not silent. He must warn of danger. The final point is that there is no path to salvation apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift from God apart from works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians chapter 2. I put that on the back of my business card. It's that important. Faith alone, grace alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone. This is what we believe, because this is how God presents himself in his word. Now, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is far from a perfect or pure institution, but it is true unity, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That is our great hope. And we welcome full fellowship with any person or church that will teach and confess these really five basic truths of Scripture. But God is not a postmodernist. Two opposing views cannot both be true. And for this, we are called hateful. President Harrison has been called hateful for how he dealt with the circumstance in Newtown, Connecticut. What is truly hateful is when those who practice unionism demand that we join their practice and say, you must deny what you believe, or at least look the other way, or remain silent, or otherwise we will call you hateful and un-Christ-like. And that's the accusation that is made towards us. But we look to the clear teachings of God's word, and none of us should be comfortable giving up any of those five basic teachings, because this is what Christ's church has always taught. And to look the other way, or to be silent, or to say, oh, they don't matter, would be to deny Christ. Because the truth of Christ is present in all five. They are all important. This is what God meant when he charged Ezekiel with being a watchman for the house of Israel. The watchman standing on the wall of Jerusalem would not look out and say, oh, it's only a small army attacking. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about them. Pretend they're not a problem. We don't want to upset the women and children. Well, he would be a very poor watchman. He cannot remain silent. And as we read in Ezekiel, he would be guilty of a great sin if he does remain silent. Unfortunately, Satan has never allowed Christ's church to find peace and rest in this sinful world. The critics of God have always said, the way of the Lord is not just. Our task is to remain watchful. Watchful for danger, and watchful for the coming of Christ. Spiritual danger is all around us. Temptations, false teachings, enough physical comfort to entice us to let down our guard. This is why we can never give up the basic teachings of God's word. If God's word is not truth, if Christ is not present in the sacraments as he says he is. If we are saved in any way by our works rather than Christ alone, then we are lost. And where do we place our hope? I certainly don't want to place my hope in me, because I know how lost I would be. Our hope is in Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh to be that one final lamb of sacrifice for the guilt of your sin and my sin, and for the sins of the Muslims and Baha'i. But for them, it is of no avail, because they have not heard that and received that. And they will never hear or receive that if we remain silent. Christ comes in his word. Christ comes to us in the sacraments that he instituted. He offered his broken body and shed blood on Calvary. He rose on Easter morning and opened the gates of heaven for you and me. And it saddens me that we are called hateful for teaching that this is the one and only truth. Then again, we are reminded by Jesus himself. He says, if they hate you, remember that they hated me first. No matter what anyone out there says, be watchful. Remain in Christ. Especially in the midst of pain and suffering, we must remain in Christ. And you will never be lost. And you will never be without hope, so long as you remain in Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.